did her MD from the University of Damascus and her Master's in Public Health from the University of California, Berkeley, with honors in nutrition. She is currently the Senior Officer for School and Family Health Section, Health Authority of Abu Dhabi.
Delighted to be here with everybody today, and I want to thank the organizers for inviting me to speak. Basically, my topic will be about what we do in the public health department at the Health Authority of Abu Dhabi. There was a lot of excellent scientific talk and explanation about research and biology, microbiology, and I'm not going to be that scientific. It's going to be more about public health programs. So basically, first of all, what I'm going to do, I will be identifying what we do at HAD. I will speak a little bit about statistics and priorities, and then a little bit about micronutrient deficiencies, and then a program that I will allude to later is called Wiqaya program. I don't know how many of you heard about it, but it has to do with the SIQA insurance card. And then a little bit about sources of vitamin D and what we do in public health nutrition programs. Basically, I will speak about the section that I work for, which is the school and family health, and specifically school. And then just briefly about recommendations. As we all know, and I'm sure all of you noticed, especially for you who work in the health industry, that the majority of the people in the Emirate of Abu Dhabi or in the UAE in general is a young population. Specifically under the age of 19 for nationals, we can see in nationals, in UAE Emiratis, that 52% are under the age of 19. For expat children, it's 12%, but the majority are within this age group, anywhere between the birth up to the age of 40 or 45. Now, what are our priorities in the public health department? There was a lot of talk today about the correlation or the relationship between vitamin D deficiency and cardiovascular diseases and cancers and so on. And as you see here from the priority and its achievable impact on Abu Dhabi, and what we mean here is the qualities or the quality of adjusted life years. Because we know a person with cardiovascular disease or diabetes or the other diseases, it's going to, even if he lives longer, but his life will be impacted by the disease and by the side effects of his diseases. And as you can see here, the reason we actually have the cardiovascular diseases as our top priority is because this is the major killer. From statistics within the Emirate of Abu Dhabi, we find out that the major killer is cardiovascular diseases. And all those are predisposing factors, obesity, diabetes, hypertension. And all of those, actually, we can do something about it by changing our lifestyle and having a healthy lifestyle. So this is number one within our priorities. And then the other things, there's cancers, and we hear today also, they talked about the relationship and the potential of using active vitamin D as a treatment of cancer, mental health, Alzheimer's, and musculoskeletal health, of course, this is the obvious relationship between vitamin D and calcium, and it is within the priority of the health authority. Now, how do we base our public health framework? What do we basically do? Now, everything we do, it has to be with partnership with the other entities, either if they are governmental or non-governmental NGOs. And the reason is we can't do anything by ourselves. For example, if we don't work with the Food Control Authority, there is no way that we can standardize anything that has to do with food. The same thing, I work for the school health, as I mentioned. If I don't work with the Abu Dhabi ADEC, with the Abu Dhabi Education Council, also we cannot have anything done on food. And the same goes for other organizations. Now, as a health authority, we mainly also have, I know many of you probably went to the website and looked at our standards. We have many policies and standards for diabetes and for obesity, for school health, for nurses, and so on. And the other thing also that we work with is improving the environment and working with the urban planning. Because today we've heard a lot about the importance of being in the sun and the importance of being able to go out and walk and be exposed to a healthy lifestyle. So it's very, very important, the environment that we live in. is. And then the other thing is health screening, health services. Without screening, how can we know that there is deficiency? And of course, through continuing medical education, building capacity, and all of those, nothing can happen if we don't have the community involved, because they are the implementers of our programs at the end of the day. And now, when it comes to any intervention, of course, and we have to go by the life course approach, by all the levels, like starting from a neonatal, going up to infant childhood, adolescence, and adult life. Because if we don't work at a younger age, the risk will be accumulated. Like if a child, let's say, have type 2 diabetes, and we all know that type 2 diabetes, which was confined to older adults in the 70s, now we can see that there are a lot of children who have type 2 diabetes, unfortunately, as young as 10 years old. Now, if we don't treat them at a young age, then the risk will be accumulated. And the same goes for vitamin D deficiency and for calcium deficiency and for all the others. This is basically saying the same thing, and it's more busier slide, and it shows the interaction across all age levels. Because if a pregnant woman, for example, let's start with pregnancy. If a pregnant woman doesn't get enough vitamin D and enough calcium in her diet, this is going to affect her child. And later on in infancy, after the child is born, and we heard today about actually breastfeeding doesn't have enough vitamin D, so mother needs to be having supplements if she's breastfeeding. And then the other thing also for later on in life, a child as he's growing, and we concentrate, as I mentioned, in childhood and adolescence, the school age. And also the elderly. The elderly, unfortunately, is a neglected population, as we know, and what we are hoping is to have programs that address the elderly, because there are definitely lots of malnourished among us, and we know that vitamin B12 and other problems can be in this age group. So now let's talk a little bit about micronutrient deficiencies in general. And of course, it's not our topic, but I'm going to mention briefly. Iodine, for example, now this is something that I think we should be very proud of, that the UAE is iodine deficiency free. We don't see any more cases. And there's a study that's been done just recently, a few years ago, and it shows that we don't have this problem in the UAE. And the reason is because of the iodinized salt, because of fortification, lots of health promotion activities. But still, it is important to be aware of the problem, because we know that the UAE and Emirate of Abu Dhabi is open to all nationalities and to people coming from all over the world. So we might come across people who have those problems. Now, iron, on the contrary, is a major, major, major problem, anemia. We've screened children, like around, 27,000 school children, and we found that 30% of them are anemic. And many of those are iron deficiency anemia. And you know anemia, what it can cause is that it can cause really children will not do well, they will be tired, they will score low in their grades, and the teacher might think that it is because of reasons other than anemia, but actually that might be because we found that 27,000, out of 27,000, lots of cases that have been done and lots of studies, around 30% have anemia, but some of them are due to thalassemia and to other blood diseases. And vitamin A, the same goes as iodine, is not a problem in the UAE. Now, vitamin D, which is the topic for today, is definitely critical, as we all know, and it's been, I'm not going to go into too much detail because my colleagues before me explained a lot about vitamin D and what it does and how it causes rickets. This is causes rickets in children, and it causes osteoporosis in adults, and then, of course, it causes it leads to disability and diseases later in life. And now I will be speaking a little bit about what the health authority does in terms of screening. The program WIQAYA, how many of you heard about WIQAYA? Well, everybody really needs to say much, but just in brief, it's linked to the insurance card pickup for the Emiratis that they have to do a screening test. When it started as a mandatory that everybody had to be screened. But then, of course, it was realized that it couldn't be. We can't tell people that you must be screened for diseases and so on. So now it's more with a consent form, and it's more like a voluntary basis. So what it happens is that the subject goes to the front desk, to the health clinic, the WIQAYA health clinic, and then he or she has to fill a questionnaire. The physician, what they do, they validate the answers, and they upload the questionnaires, and they examine the person. they examine the blood pressure. Those are the mandatory ones, the body mass index, doing the weight over height square. And they do also the hip circumference and the waist circumference. And the reason we do the waist circumference, because we know that it is related to metabolic disorders and so on. And then the blood is drawn. And when the blood is drawn, those are the main tests that have been done, and one of them is vitamin D. And actually, this data haven't been published yet, so it's just preliminary. I worked on it really quickly because I knew that I would present you today, and I wanted to tell you something about what we found from the Lakaya data. What happens is that the results are received within less than 5 days, and then the subjects are either high risk. If they're high risk, then they have to go for a follow-up within 2 weeks, medium risk within 2 months, low risk, then they are free from, they don't have to go back. They're free from follow-up. Have you seen this report before? Yeah, this report actually goes to the patient, and it tells the patient where he or she are at. If they are in the yellow category, they're medium risk, this is high risk, and this is low risk. And it depends on the results of the tests that they've done at the clinic or the hospital. Now, what are the cutoffs? From what I've been hearing today, it's a little bit different than what we're doing. Of course, we all do 25-hydroxyvitamin D, but the reference ranges, this is what we classified it as. We classified it as less than 25 nanomole is considered deficient, 25 to 60 insufficient, and this is, we consider this normal. What happens is the screening happens, and then in the health facilities, everything has to be electronically, of course, recorded. But then it goes manually, actually, to the PAS office of the health authority, and then we analyze it through our knowledge information health system at HAD or the MOM, the CHIP Health program. They have those programs as well. And this is what we've seen. Around like 9,400 have been examined. From this data, we have 57 missing. What I mean by missing is that the data didn't make sense either for entry and out. For example, we have 7 pregnant men. So this is something that we have to take care of. But this is the numbers that we found. And actually, this echoes what we've been hearing today, that there is definitely a problem, and definitely there is a deficiency in vitamin D in the Emirate of Abu Dhabi. As you can see here, the majority, actually, 51% are in the insufficient category, and in the deficient 35%, and only 12.6% were normal. So this is an alarming figure, and definitely there is something that needs to be done about it from a public health perspective. This is saying basically just going with the mean, depending on age group, but surprisingly here also, as you see, because we expect that in the elderly you will see a lower level, here we see it higher, and I don't know if there's an explanation, maybe they are on supplements, because they are old, they go to the physician and they end up giving them vitamin D. We need to revisit this and find out why. So this is another graph that's explaining the same thing, and this is also the mean by age group. And it's just worth saying that Wiqaya is done for people above the age of 18. It's only for adults. And the results that we gather is from 18 to 92. The youngest was 18 and the oldest was 92. And this is what we found. Again, we see that it's a better concentration of vitamin D in the older categories. This is the cross tabulation by age category, and also the same thing. Again, surprise, it's very, very, very low, the normal levels that's in all. But it's all across the age levels, if you look at it, that you see the majority are either deficient or insufficient. And if you look at the normal level, also even the number was still very, very small. For the 18 to the 19, when we looked at them, I can't remember on the top of my head how many we have, but we only had a few of those age categories. And we saw that definitely it's a very low number of normal. Here, as you can see, this is just adds up to the 100% and just gives a better idea about the insufficiency. People who are insufficient are the highest. What is still the limitation to this? What is the, when I look at it, actually, the questionnaire didn't really specify exactly how many cups of milk that they had a day. How much, what did they eat in terms of fortified orange juices or fresh. So they didn't go into detail for the food frequency of what they were having, and so we couldn't do this kind of correlation. The other thing, they were 5.5 49% of pregnant women, but it's not enough to say, were they on vitamins, were they on supplements, we don't know. Also, there wasn't any question to tell us if they were lactating or not, and we didn't correlate it with the body mass index. So those are things that we need to look at a later stage. And again, as I said, the dietary sources. The other thing, I don't know if this can be a confounder, is the selection bias. Because as I said now, the diet is voluntary, and people just go by choice to have their blood tested. So maybe they knew something before going. They chose to go because they knew that they are vitamin deficient from a previous result, or they're feeling sick, or whatever. I don't know the answer to that, but this is just something I wanted to throw in. So now this is about the Wakaya data. Now everybody, of course, most of you know what the requirements, the RDAs, or the recommended dietary allowance, and this is from the state, basically, how much you need. And what we've heard today, that you can need much more if you're pregnant, and up to 2,000, 4,000, so this is also a recommendation we need to look at. Those are the food, the sources. Of course, fatty fish have international units per servings are quite good. So the egg yolk and all those are products that have vitamin C in it. Of course, other than dietary sources, sun exposure. And this is a small study. It's only 8 women, Arab women, that's been exposed to the sun for 30 minutes for 4 weeks. And you can see here, just by those 30 minutes per week, that the serum 25-hydroxy-D really increased within a very short time. This is also coming from, this is the source of that, but it shows that people are really scared that if they expose themselves to the sun, they will end up having skin cancer. And actually, this shows that it doesn't speak to this, because it tells you here that what we've seen in 7 years or in 8 years, that the melanoma increases and the sunlight exposure decreases. So here it actually contradicts the theory that the sunlight is the... So it's just telling people that you can definitely have some amount of saved sunlight. Fortification is very, very important, and I'm 90% sure that milk in Abu Dhabi is fortified with vitamin D, although we need to make sure that this is the correct. The other thing, actually reading the label, it's very important to educate the public and to educate our children that they need to know what they need to have, what they need to have more of, what they need to have less of, the calories that they are having, and all this. This is another thing, this is actually in the States, I haven't seen it here much, but they always tell you if your child doesn't drink enough milk, have and have orange juice that's fortified with vitamin D and calcium, because it can supply up to 25% of the daily requirement of vitamin D and up to 35% of the daily requirement of calcium. Now, what do we do at the HAD, at the Health Authority of Abu Dhabi? Again, I'm working for the school health section, so I'm going to speak for that. We have a big campaign that was launched in January 2011. It's called Eat Right, Get Active campaign. One of the tools that we've done is instead of using the food pyramid, which is coming from somewhere else, we decided to go more culturally and use the dome. And the dome, it looks more culturally specific, and actually we run focus group discussions with children and with teachers. And surprisingly, if many of you, if not all of you, know the pyramid, one of the main protein supplements is peanut butter. And when you ask the children what is peanut butter, they call it butter. So this is, of course, something we don't want children to eat butter because they think it's a source of protein. So we took it out and we substituted with baba beans, which is a good source. And it's cultural here. Everybody, of course, eats baba beans. We put dates in the food and many things and adjustments. Everything is available on our website if you're interested to learn more. So this is more about the food zone. We have two. We have one for adults and one for children. The one for children, we didn't specify the serving. We didn't say that you need to take 2 to 5 or 2 to 4 or whatever. I'm not going to go into those details. Everybody in this room, I'm sure, is aware of how many servings is required by age group. But everything is available on the website. This is what we've done. Also, this was launched last year in January 2011. It's the School for Health website, and it has a lot of nutritional information. But after listening to all those experts today, this is definitely something that I'm going to take back with me, is that we need to put something about vitamin D. I think we definitely need to add a lot of recommendations for children and grandparents. This slide is in Arabic, and I apologize for people who don't read Arabic, but what it is actually, because when I have this slide, now we have it in English. We did worked on that with ADECTA, the Abu Dhabi Food Control Authority, and with ADE, the Abu Dhabi Education Council. But we were mainly responsible for the nutrition part, and we were very specific that a child, depending on his grade level, how many calories that he needs, how much protein, calcium, iron, vitamin A, and vitamin D. But those are not fortified milk. Those numbers are not. If this was fortified, those will be much higher. Okay, so that's basically it for what we've been doing, and this is just, we heard that many times today, what are the determinants of vitamin D? Of course, the personal characteristics, the environment, does a woman wear a veil, does she not wear a veil, do we live where do we live, what's the latitude, and all those aspects, of course, physiologically, the pregnancy, lactation, in terms of the personal characteristics, the age, and so on, all those can determine the vitamin D, but also we should not forget the authority. And we definitely need to have more policies and interventions that address all those aspects. And then the other thing is the access to quality care, having screening, giving supplementation, and all the other things that are very, very important to make sure that the subjects are being treated up to the high standards. So now what are the future plans? So now there is a big, big, huge food consumption survey that is, will be actually piloted very soon in the next few months with the Abu Dhabi Food Control Authority that we're working on. Actually, interestingly enough, what we've done, one of the things is instead of using the software program to analyze the food content that's being used elsewhere, now we're making it culturally specific and we're putting food from the Emirates of Abu Dhabi, like in Mashbous, Makbous, or the other kind of Emirati food, just to find out how many calories, how much calcium, how much vitamin within those foods there is. And then the other thing also, we have an atlas now for the Emirates of Abu Dhabi and many things. They're not published yet, but the lead on that is the Abu Dhabi Food Control Authority, and I'm presenting how within this project. The other thing, as I mentioned, we have a nutrition canteen guideline for kids, but within the recommendation to have one for adults. And then the other thing is fortification. We want to make sure that we have enough fortified food within the country, not only the food that is imported from elsewhere. And doing more health promotion programs, encouraging adequate sun exposure, and of course increasing the intake of vitamin and calcium. Thank you very much, and as we say in Arabic, we'll call you a favor.